This is Bob Tim. I have a very special show for you today because much of the content has been in the news. This was a difficult show to edit because we went over a half hour, and as you know, this program's only about 14 minutes long, so it took a lot of editing. There's a lot of information in here that was not in the news that I think is important to be mentioned. First of all, let me just give you a brief. This is about the independent hairdresser who was doing hair at Somerset Court, and as she was doing a client's hair, was arrested by the police, and the judge gave her a felony and a fine for helping this lady look good during the COVID-19 crisis. Here's more on that subject with myself and Bob Hale. Thank you for listening.
It's a gal. I mean, she is her own contractor, and she works full-time at our facility and takes no other clients. However, she's not an employee, and the state said, well, since she's not working for you as an employee, she can't practice. But if she was your employee, she could do it. However, she couldn't use the salon. You have to lock that up. And if she's going to do it, she has to go from unit to unit to provide hair services for our residents. The vast majority, about 90%, 92%, are women. And most of them go to the salon because they can't do their own hair.
Right.
Which, you know, when you're younger, you can do your own hair. So now we can't provide services to our residents, and this private contractor, who happens to be a single mother, is out of work. So now she's permanently been put out of work. We came in and said, well, hold it a minute. Why can't she do this? Well, because she's not your employee. So if it was our employee, like the rest of our employees, she could do it. So we took this to the state, has a special committee, a task force, that's overseeing this and trying to figure out how to deal with what is a real problem, this virus. But the problem with that is they're going to take our questions and what we're doing and what we want to continue to do, they'll take that up and say yes or no. So week one, we bring it up. We're talking about it. They table it to the next meeting. These are Thursday afternoon meetings. They table it. The next week we come in, we have all of our arguments, all of our positions, everything, you know, why this isn't causing any additional problem or potential problem for a resident. And what they say is okay, we've heard what you had to say. We're going to table it till next week while we work on it. So the third week we come in, we're saying, okay, we want to get this thing done. Well, we're really not sure what we can do or not do. We're going to table it till the next week. I say, I'd like to know who's in this task force that's considering these things for the last 3 weeks. So on the fourth week, I says, what in the world is going on? These are not difficult decisions to make. The facts don't change. Well, we're going to table it for the next week. At this point, our residents are having serious problems. First of all, about their own looks. This is deprecating to them as having a physical abnormality or problem. And the psychological, the self-image, a lot of these people are hiding from everybody else in the facility because they don't want to be seen. So we say, well, what should we do? We're going to continue this? Well, let's just keep going as we originally were. So we have our hairdresser come into the salon to provide the services to our residents. Again, she's just like every other employee, but she doesn't want to be an employee because of she's got herself set up as a private contractor. So we say, provide the services to our residents. So we're providing the service to our residents, and the next thing we know, the Minot Police Department raids our facility and arrests the hairdresser and writes her up for a felony and a $1,000 fine. She's a single mother, no income source at all. And since she's not an employee, she doesn't qualify for unemployment comp because she doesn't have to pay into the unemployment comp. And they can't say that, well, she can collect from it because it really doesn't make any sense. She doesn't pay into it. So now we've got 120 people. By the way, I didn't realize how many of all the men go and get their hair done at least once a month because they don't cut their hair.
Right.
And so the whole thing was a debacle. So what we did is we brought a lawsuit against the Department of Health and the governor in their official capacity. And we wanted a quick response to this. So what they did is they threw up every time-consuming methodology you can in the courts to delay it and keep people in the same condition and position that they were in. This is government overreach. Now, we believe that we're going to win. And we believe that we're going to win because, number one, the governor didn't have the authority to impose those conditions, even under his emergency powers. And the legislative council's attorneys, in their analysis, said he overstepped his authority. And why did he overstep his authority? Because when he uses his authority in an emergency situation, he can use it as long as the outcomes of what he's doing and the recommendations and the mandates he's imposing are not absurd. Now, North Dakota is interesting because it doesn't have a case on this, but it does have in its North Dakota Century Code, has the rule saying absurdity negates even legitimate executive emergency powers. This is going to be the first time we have a specific definition of absurdity. This is the kind of stuff that is running rampant at our state, and it's harming the elderly population in this state. And our example is not unique. There's 217 assisted living and nursing facilities in this state with thousands of residents. Yet there was no rush. There was a rush to have an executive order, shut everything down, but there was no rush, and we did in our discovery request to have the meetings for all of those, the minutes for all of those meetings, to see exactly what they were doing and considering that they postponed week after week after week after week for 4 weeks. We finally opened up and started providing the services to our residents, and what ends up happening, the police literally raided the facility, stopped the hairdresser in mid-hairdressing, and the resident that was in the chair was terrified and asked the hairdresser, well, am I going to get my hair finished? We directed her to, yeah, finish it. The police department said, well, you can do it, but it's going to be a problem. This is the nonsense that goes on.
Yeah.
And it's one example. We've had our entire facility, both residents and staff, 195 the first time. Everyone was tested. Everyone was negative. 2 weeks later, we had everyone tested. At this point, there was 194, one less resident. And there's a reason for that, because it's a vulnerable population even when we don't have this.
Right.
And we tested 194 negative. The 23rd of this month, June, we're going to have another test. And I would suspect we're going to have the same outcome. In the meantime, the governor let up on his prohibition. I think some of that may have been due to our lawsuit. But we're pursuing this lawsuit because this young lady, they still want to collect the $1,000 for her and have her listed as a felon. And this is inexcusable.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you the other part of it.
Okay.
The other part of it is when we filed the lawsuit, you would be amazed at some of the phone calls we got telling us how we don't care about our residents, how all we're into it is for the money. We, you know, and this is what's promoted when you have a government out saying that we're doing this to protect the residents, because obviously they don't say it that way, but the conclusion is businessmen, business people aren't going to take care of their customers.
Yeah.
And we're now the bad guys, despite the fact that they couldn't get off dead center. And by the way, in our request for discovery, because they won't tell us anything either, their response to that was, it's overburdensome, it would be too costly, we don't have the staff to do it. Yet they have the staff to run these daily 2-hour public meetings on the internet, yet they never make any decisions. This is irrational.
How could it make sense to anybody, you know, that...
I think part of what this proves or demonstrates over and over again, private industry, private enterprise, no one understand their business. And all-intrusive government is a master of nothing except bureaucracy, red tape, and delay. That is part and parcel of what government is today. Government is too involved. It's too big, number one. Number two is it spends too much money, none of which has it ever earned a penny of. They've taken it away from people who actually do work and produce a product that people are willing to pay for. Unfortunately, people don't have the choice to reduce the size of government. We get the mantra that, well, elect somebody who will. I think everyone in this country today that thinks about it and then actually earns a paycheck from private employment understands that government wastes most of the half of what they earn annually,
absolutely,
which goes to taxes. And by the way, over 56 cents of every single dollar you earn is paid to the government. Well, people say, no, it isn't.
Well, add up all the taxes.
Think about the 7.5% sales tax. That's just one of it. Think about the price of the goods you're buying that you're paying for that have passed on the taxes to you, because the only person that can really pay them is the person who actually earns the money. Take a look at what you're paying for excise tax. Take a look at what you're paying for gas tax. You may think you like some of these services, but how about when you go and buy a drink? You've got that task. How about, do you know how much you're paying when you go into a hotel or a motel? Minot's one of the most expensive places in the state with temporary occupancy taxes. That's all paid on, and you're paying those indirectly, but you're paying, that's coming out and out of your earnings. It's so the government takes more of what you earn than you have left to spend. Take a look at your FICA and property taxes on top of it. What does the government do with all this? It has meetings, and it has task forces, and it has lawyers, and it has the police department going out and raiding innocent young ladies who are single mothers and fining them for actually practicing their profession.
This is Bob Tim once again, and I apologize for that abrupt ending, but as I mentioned in the beginning, I had a lot of editing to get this 30-minute conversation into 15. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll come back next Friday and hear more. Thank you.